Welcome to yet another sparking edition of On The Record. We are the Two Mics, and this is our On The Record podcast series, which started off, Porky, I have to say, as a promotional vehicle for our show, live show in New York, which we did at a place called the City Winery.
Indeed.
And which has now reached sort of the epic proportions of millions and millions of listeners.
It certainly has.
People love it. Mm. They love the old stories that we tell, even if they don't know who the people are. But they also like our take on some of the more unusual stories of the day.
Well, never mind the unusual stories. We're going to get a bit of a mainline story. But before I do anything, I'm going to pull my tongue out at you, okay?
Pull your tongue out?
I'm going to stick my tongue out at you. Okay, look, I'll show you. Look.
What are you doing that for?
Because I bit my tongue this morning.
Did you?
And it was the hardest biting of a tongue I've ever had in my life. I mean, seriously.
I don't see like you didn't take a chunk out of it, did you? Oh, God, yeah. Oi, did it bleed?
Yeah. It bled terribly.
Really?
So there I am munching my sausage butty at breakfast.
Is that what caused it? The sausage butty?
No. It was a tooth that went into my tongue, okay? But the thing is, I was reading a couple of my journals at the time.
Yes.
I was watching...
Not concentrating.
Exactly. Watching Piers Morgan on the television.
GMB.
You know, trying to sort out the whys and wherefores of this situation in New Zealand, okay?
I see
this
his horrendous partner situation. In crime has been burgled a couple of times.
It's terrible. It's terrible. The bloke came back and got a key, stole her car, which was abandoned a few hundred yards away. Looks to me like they're just trying to, you know, worry her and tease her or something like that. But she is going out now with the multi-millionaire chairman of Crystal Palace.
That's right, yes.
So if I was a big fan of ours.
Not so much you as me, really.
A big fan of mine, because I ask him the direct questions.
Yeah, no, but he thought you were talking rubbish, and he told you as well, I think.
No, I put him straight.
China.
And can I just say, we're talking here about Steve Parish.
Yeah.
And Steve, I advise you to get a team of security guards and circle Suzanne's house to make sure these wicked people don't come back.
Well,
you know?
I'd go one step further than that, in actual fact. What I would do is I would surreptitiously circle the place so that when the guy comes back... Then Mr. Parish
break his legs with
baseball
bat.
I'm certainly not advocating any kind of violence.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I would do is teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
You know.
But anyway, so I was watching Piers, and all of a sudden, this intense pain went through my system.
Oh, there's nothing worse.
Started in my mouth, went down my throat.
Oh.
It reached my buttocks, went into my toes. Oh, yeah.
I don't know about your buttocks.
No, but it's my whole nervous system suddenly clammed up. And I was going, ugh.
Was the blood like running out of your mouth?
Well, I didn't know, so I went into the bathroom.
It's a horrible taste, isn't it? Blood?
Yeah, yeah. I went into the bathroom where I have, you know, bathroom cabinets and mirrors, all that kind of stuff. And I opened my mouth.
And a triangular bath, or was this one of the spare
ones? No. It's the shower room. It's actually the shower room.
Oh, right. It's the wet room.
The wet room, that's right, yeah. And there is, my mouth is full of blood.
No.
So I thought, I rinsed it with salt water.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Right, okay. Yeah. And then I got the Bongella out.
Bongella?
Yeah, Bongella is stuff for gums.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got some of that similar stuff because I've got a bit of a mouth ulcer.
Yeah,
which
not nice.
Going, it won't go away.
No, and I put it on my tongue. And I have to say, it has improved remarkably quickly.
Yeah.
But it's the worst tongue bite I've ever suffered.
There's nothing you can do about it either. I mean, it's literally once it's done, it's not like you can feel it happening.
No,
it happens.
But
and it's
I just wasn't concentrating. What I do is I eat too fast, and some mornings I eat so fast that I have to actually not eat again because my food is not digesting.
Well, why do you eat so fast?
Because I don't know. I just, you know, I get hungry and so I think I'll eat quick and then I'll get this out of the way and then get on with some work.
Yeah.
The problem is because my heart is only working at one third of the strength of yours.
Yeah.
A heart has two major functions. Mm. One is to pump blood around the system.
Yes.
And the second major function is to serve your digestive system.
Is that right?
So that all nutrients and everything go through your body and go to the right.
Is that why they call it heartburn if you have
indigestion? Heartburn. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And
well, maybe you should keep some Gaviscon or whatever it's called handy.
Well, no, what I do is I keep a bottle of fizzy water. That's better.
Is it?
Fizzy water, because the bubbles will help you loosen the system. But the other one I love, and I'm becoming addicted to...
What about Andrew's liver salts?
Well, no, funny, I've got another one. Milk of magnesium.
Yes.
And I'm addicted to it. Addicted to it, yeah.
That's not good.
And you get it in powder form, and you put it in the water.
You can buy it in liquid form, you know.
Yeah, I get it in powder form.
It's kind of chalky taste.
Andrew's liver salts?
Andrew's liver salts,
that's the one.
Well, Andrew's liver salts is the stuff you spoon out.
That's right, yeah.
My parents used to always have that in the house.
Yeah, well, you put that in water, and it fizzes up like a...
That's right.
Like one of those experiments you used to do in the chemistry lab at school, you know what I mean? Starts bubbling.
Yeah.
I drink it really quickly, and that... Literally, you know, regenerates the thorax area.
Right. You suffer from indigestion a lot.
Quite a lot. Mm. Sometimes I go home at night after a hard day.
You don't think it's anything to do with the what they call the acid redux?
No.
That you can sometimes get from drinking excessive amounts of alcohol.
No, nothing to do with that at all.
Sure?
And I'll buy a huge bit of fish, right? Fish and chips.
How big?
Oh, mega
Jumbo. Do you
know,
I had a massive craving for fish and chips yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Took the kids and the dog down to the beach because it was a really nice sunny day, unlike the day before, which had been horrible. However, it was pretty cold and windy.
Right.
And there's a cafe there.
Yeah.
And they do fish and chips, and I thought, oh, I could just really go for that. But I managed to resist. But I definitely need to have fish and chips soon.
Had your kids had their breakfast or lunch or
anything? They'd had some lunch already.
Right.
So they weren't, I mean, but they'll always eat.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But I mean, you can be sometimes overeating, so I didn't want to give them fish and chips.
Well, I sometimes have the fish, and then halfway through the fish and chips, and I have peas as well, I can't eat any more, and my gullet gets stuck.
Well, do you know what you should do? Is put it in the fridge and have it the next tomorrow.
Well, I don't know about warming up fish, to be honest. It's
a bit
dodgy.
Nah.
But anyway, listen, what I want to tell you about...
What are we talking about?
What we're going to talk about is...
You were talking about biting your tongue.
I was talking about that.
So is it all right now?
Well, it's not all right, but I mean, I just couldn't bear it.
No, but what you have to be careful of, though, sometimes what happens is it creates...
Infection.
Not infection, but it creates a little kind of a rough...
An ulcer.
A rough part, which you will continue to keep biting.
Funny enough, before the tongue biting, I'd got into the habit, not very often, of biting the inside of my mouth in front of my lower teeth.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, do you know, I had a bit of a problem with that when I first got my new teeth.
Right, okay,
because
yeah.
they sit slightly differently and you have to get used to them.
Yeah.
And I bit the inside of my tongue a couple of times.
Right.
But I've now got this little ulcer, which I got when I was in California.
Yeah.
And I bought some medicine.
It's still there.
And it won't go away. Every time I think it's gone away, I wake up in the morning, it's come back. And it's very small. And it's not painful.
Yeah.
And my dentist noticed it, and I said, well, I don't know what else to do. I put this stuff on it, and she said, well, that's all you should do.
Yeah.
But it keeps coming back, and whenever I eat anything spicy, it sort of gets bigger.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it obviously responds to, you know, like chilies and stuff.
Yes, yes, okay. Anyway, listen, now, what I want to talk to you about...
In my,
I'm very interested
you don't care.
About that. Yeah, of course I do.
Porky, do you ever read The Economist?
Of course I read The Economist. My goodness me, it's not just about finance and business and economy. It is truly a magazine which keeps you up to date with modern life. That's the way I look at it.
Well, because it's not just about economics and finance, you're quite right. It covers a range of subjects, world politics, business, science, technology, arts, and the environment.
I know, you've heard about the wheat and the chaff. Well, The Economist, it really does sort one from the other,
you know?
It sifts through the noise, focusing on the essential information. Now, it has been a trusted source of intelligence for over 170 years. And it's for the kind of people like you and me, Mike, who never stop asking questions. We want to know why the world is the way it is.
And it's got a very striking cover this week, I think you'll
certainly
find.
Has.
They've got a picture of Britannia looking a little bit shell-shocked.
Britannia.
I don't think you should start singing it at this stage.
No.
And a bit of an epithet. Whatever next, it's all about Brexit.
Yeah.
It's all about the mess that Britain has got itself into regarding Europe. And The Economist really explains it very well so that everyone can understand what is going on.
Okay, and the story that caught my eye in this week's edition is NATO. You know, 70 years of NATO, the 70th birthday coming up. And of course... Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, has made it clear already, NATO is not a charity for Europe, OK? We better look lively if the Prez has got his eye on NATO.
Quite right. The Economist is the smart guide to the forces impacting your world, so if you've never stopped asking questions, you can get a free print copy right now.
That's right. For your free print copy of The Economist, just text RECORD, that's RECORD, to 78070.
That's right. Get your free print copy of The Economist. Just text the word RECORD, RECORD, to 78070.
Now, I'm very interested in socialism, why it doesn't work, OK?
Socialism.
Right. I read a piece in one of my journals, and it says, when will people stop kidding themselves? Socialism doesn't work. The supposed paradise has never actually been achieved anywhere ever, but my goodness, we have certainly tried it out.
Yeah.
Now, the point is, there are people in this country who are asking voters to vote for them to invoke a truly socialist government.
Yes.
It's never worked.
Well, like Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And John McDonnell.
Oh, Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah, and John McDonnell.
Yeah.
Now, the latest example of socialism not working and turning wealth into ruin is, of course, Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Where it's now so bad that when they turn on their taps, oil comes out.
Yeah.
They've got so much oil that could be one of the richest countries in the world.
Do you know, I didn't know this until relatively recently. They are the biggest oil-producing nation in the world.
Well, they could be.
No, they are.
An efficient oil industry.
No, but they are.
Yeah, they can't sell it to anybody
now. They've got
now.
The biggest oil reserves of any country in the world.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Bigger than Saudi Arabia.
Bigger than America.
America.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I know. But they're one of the most broke countries in the world, and people are scavenging on tips for food. And now the the water distribution service has broken down to be replaced by oil in the taps because oil is so cheap in Venezuela.
Yeah, well, you can't wash in oil, can you?
Of course you can't wash in oil. People are going to sewers and they are scooping water out of sewers just to clean themselves.
That's horrible.
I know, it's disgusting. But anyway, it says here, according to Marx, socialism is the stage we inevitably must go through prior to reaching the utopian state of communism in which money and property magically become redundant.
Yes.
This supposed paradise has never actually been achieved anywhere, funnily enough.
Well, bizarrely, mostly of the, of this, when I studied Marx and economics and all that rubbish, it's all about having an agrarian economy.
Yes.
It doesn't work in the modern world.
The five-year plan.
Yeah, but it only works if you have a field. And you have people who you know work the field.
That's right.
And one guy makes potatoes.
Yeah.
And the other guy grows broccoli. And another bloke has a cow.
That's right.
And makes milk.
Yeah.
And they all exchange it, and no money has to change hands. Well, how does that fucking work in downtown Los Angeles?
How does it work in Britain? Mm. We've had the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which was such an economic disaster that millions died of starvation.
Yep.
There was mass slave labour, torture, executions of political opponents too. Then came the People's Republic of China. Exactly the same thing happened there. East Germany was one of the least bad attempts at socialism. But guess how many households had a telephone before the residents finally started hacking down the Berlin Wall? Okay,
yeah,
in East Germany, 16% of German households had telephones.
16.
In West Germany, of course, 99.9% of households had a phone.
I mean, one of the things that you can say now with quite certainty is that Germany has never recovered from the unification process.
Oh, no.
Because the West was so wealthy that it basically lost all its money enveloping the East.
It did, yeah.
The East brought nothing to the party.
It did.
Absolutely nothing.
Now, the point is, two observations here. First, there's a bloke who called Seamus Milne.
Seamus Milne, yeah.
And he
his former Guardian.
Former Guardian, and he is apparently Jeremy Corbyn's press secretary.
Yes.
But he's a public school educated boy.
Of course he is.
And he believes in mass socialism. Mm. And he says, when he reads all these books by that... Remember that old tosser called Osborne? He was some kind of economic, you know, guru, you know.
Osborne.
His name, Eric Osborne.
Eric Osborne, yeah.
And he was like, you know, left-wing intellectual.
Yeah, yeah.
There aren't any left-wing intellectuals. Yeah. They're just left-wing nutters.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
they all live in Hampstead.
They all live in Hampstead. And when interviewed once...
Like Michael Foot.
One interview once, I said, yes, but, you know, socialism... Under, you know, Lenin and Stalin, millions of people were murdered by the state. Osborne said, it's a means to an end.
Yes, of course.
He's taught exactly what I've just said. Well,
to get
where we've got to be, there's got to be a few sacrifices along the way.
Did you not hear about the other... You know, Corbyn's got this other chief sort of assistant woman, whose name escapes me for the moment. But they discovered, I think, just recently, that not only is she from quite a wealthy background, she's from a mega wealthy background, to the point where her family, it turns out, are the ones who sold the recent Picasso that went for sort of 20... What was it?
2.1 million.
No, it was more than that,
was
it?
Was it 21 million?
It was more like 21 million.
21 million, okay, yeah.
But it came from her parents' house.
Yeah.
That's how much money she's got.
But all these lefties who say, well, I think the working classes will enjoy socialism, but fuck off, I'm not going to enjoy it.
But do you know what's happened?
People like Margaret Hodge,
Who
now tries to be a moderate and all that since all the anti-Semitic stuff came up.
Well, she looks like a moderate now.
Yeah. Polly Toynbee.
Yeah.
You know,
well, she's still got the big house in Tuscany.
Exactly, yeah.
No, but here's the thing, right? They have now gone, the Labour Party have now turned into what we used to call, when I was a student, the trots.
The trots,
you know,
right.
who
yeah,
used
yeah.
to basically, because you used to go to student union conferences,
yes.
and it'd always be hijacked by the trots.
Yeah, of course it would, or the Socialist Workers' Party. Yeah,
well, they were
all
part of the same thing.
They were, yeah.
But all they would
yeah.
basically do was to run into an event and just start beating everybody up.
That's right,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, that was their modus operandi.
That's right,
they weren't
fucking
interested in politics.
No.
They were just interested in hitting anyone who didn't believe what they believed.
But you see, I put pieces of the jigsaw together because I'm smarter than the average bear. What happens is America's now become so wealthy.
Yeah.
And you and I knew this years ago when we were working in America. You know, nobody in Britain ever went out for breakfast.
No.
But people in America went out for breakfast. Nobody in Britain, you know, ever had a boat down on the harbour. But Americans did and all this kind
this
of
is
stuff,
the other
you know.
Thing. I mean, I was there recently, you know, I was talking to people about the whole idea of, you know, Brexit and the fact that, you know, we're fucked off with all the politicians telling us what to do.
Yeah.
And they're looking at you like you've gone mad. You're going, what? You let them tell you what to do?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's their job. No. Mm. They don't tell us what to do. Mm. And they, in America, they don't fucking believe that politicians are lower than a snake's belly.
That's right.
They don't pay any attention to it.
No, they don't. So anyway, the latest report from one of my American journals said that 35% of people under 35 in America now would advocate socialism as the new way to run the country.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is because...
These are all these nutters who are anti-Trump, isn't it?
That's right. They finally got so rich in America now that they get bored with it. Yeah. Let's try something else. Yeah. Well, shouldn't they just have a look at what's happening in Venezuela where they decide to destroy their own country with a bit of socialism? But here's perhaps the most telling thing about socialism.
The icing on the cake.
The only truly communist country left in the world now, of course, is North Korea.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Well, I don't know if it's communist, is it?
It's completely communist.
I mean, he's a dictator.
Yeah.
So it's a dictatorship more than it's communist, isn't it?
No, it's more communist than dictator because he still runs... I mean, at least China have a division now between commerce and political. Yeah. They don't in North Korea. No. Everything's run along, as you quite rightly say, collective responsibility
lines.
Well,
if he doesn't like you, he shoots an anti-aircraft gun at you, doesn't he?
Oh, well, if you're lucky. But
he straps you to it.
But he might throw you into a pit with a bunch of starving dogs who might tear you to pieces.
Right.
But anyway, unfortunately, the harvest has failed again in North Korea.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so Kim Jong-un's getting very angry, demanded by thumping on the table, you know, that people have got to work harder because the harvest has failed.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a bit of a problem because there's only so many trees in North Korea with bark on them that the starving people can eat, you know, and if there's no harvest, they're going to be eating a few more.
Well, what were they growing in the harvest that failed?
Wheat.
Wheat.
Wheat that failed. Food production.
So there'll be no bread then?
No bread. Was 4.95 million tonnes last year, half a million tonnes down from the year before, lowest figure in more than a decade. Tapan Mishra, UN's coordinator in North Korea, said in a statement, it's caused a significant food gap. Somebody's got to give them $120 million a month just to get bread to them, okay?
Well, maybe Trump will pay him that.
Maybe.
And then he'll sort of make it a military base for the Americans.
That's right. The North Korean economy has been damaged by international sanctions. Mr. Kim is likely to look to China for advice on how to keep his grip on power while giving his people rules on even less that they can eat. Okay,
right. So that's not good news for North Korea.
It's not good. But listen to this. Guess who? Kim Jong-un would like to visit Pyongyang as the U.S. Intermediary.
Who?
Jimmy Carter, peanut farmer.
Jimmy Carter? I didn't even know he was still around.
He's 94.
Is he?
He's 94.
Well, he can't be flying all that way. He's not up
to
it.
No. After the meeting between
my heart.
Mr. Kim and Mr. Trump in Vietnam recently, Jimmy Carter, the former US president, offered to go to Pyongyang to broker an agreement. Mr. Carter is 94 and has been receiving treatment for cancer from his hospital bed. I mean, you know.
It doesn't sound like the guy for the job, really.
What's going on?
The fucking world has gone mad. Did you also see... By the way, talking of crazy American socialism, that I think it was at New York University, NYU.
Right.
There was a vigil held for the poor dead people from New Zealand.
Right.
After they were all gunned down by that maniac.
Shocking.
And Hillary Clinton's daughter showed up, Chelsea Clinton, right?
Oh, yeah, Chelsea.
And they started attacking her and saying it was all her fault.
Really?
Because her dad had bombed somewhere, and therefore this had created the Muslim fucking problem, and this had created white supremacists. And it's they were shouting at Hillary Clinton's daughter, Chelsea, who's pregnant, by the way, and saying it's all your fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Shocking.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, here's a good one for you.
What's that?
There's a great story here that I've got in one of the Sunday papers.
Oh, yes.
Exposed, it says, the sex for rent landlords.
It's disgraceful.
Isn't it disgraceful? Now, these are all people, who apparently will put adverts in quite regularly kind of read and respectable outlets.
What, sometimes like weekly newspapers?
Like weekly newspapers, maybe sometimes on the board of a newspaper shop.
Or maybe in like college magazines.
Also online as well, you'll go to somewhere like Craigslist or, you know, something like that.
Mm.
And basically, you put an ad in that says this. Here's one guy called Tony Crossley, father of two, who says he was looking for females only to lodge at his Essex home.
Right.
Now, I have to say, when I read this story, there was only one person I thought of.
What?
You.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the sort of thing
How
you would get
you?
Up to. No, it's the sort of thing. You've got many homes, right?
Listen.
Some of which are rented out, some of which you live in.
I have a property portfolio. Anybody who lives in one of my flats, right, receives the very best facilities.
What about the Egyptian doctor?
He's
got one of my dad's paintings, the fucker.
Two.
He's got two.
Two on the wall,
why don't you get them back?
One of them's called A Walk on the Beach.
I don't want him to have those.
And, well, you know, I own them, so...
Yeah, you bought them?
Yeah, part of the furniture.
Well, maybe I'll buy them back off you.
Well, maybe you can, but they'll cost you £10,000 each.
You're going to charge me for my own father's paintings?
Well, hang on.
What a scumbag.
Are you saying that your father's paintings are not worth that? To his own son.
No.
You could have your father's paintings back for just £10,000 each. You're balking at it and saying no.
Yeah, how much do you pay for them?
About £50.
Yeah. So you want to try and make that kind of markup.
If you were any kind of a son and wanted to cherish the memory of your father.
How does that help him?
Well,
he's dead.
Well, yeah, but it makes you feel he was a great artist. Yeah, £10,000 for each one.
You want me to give you 20,000 notes?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You're a fucking disgrace.
Those two paintings.
How about
do you know
this,
what?
Right?
The paintings are of your mother and your sister walking on the beach.
Yeah.
So it's a family connection there,
I don't believe that.
For you to keep forever.
You didn't paint them on the beach. That's rubbish. Now, electrician Tony Crossley, here's his advert, right?
Yeah.
You can stay at his lodge in his Essex home, right?
Right.
For free.
Right.
In return, in his words, for fun.
Right.
Okay. And then he says, fun is spending a couple of nights with me. I'm not going to tie you up or anything like that. The one thing I love is oral sex.
What?
This is the fucking...
What, that goes into
what
an
going
advert?
On. Yeah, this is what's going
this
on.
This is disgusting.
Right. Here's one in Gravesend in Kent.
Can't that guy be prosecuted for that?
There's a bloke called Colin Luck.
Right.
Well, no, it's not illegal.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're not actually offering sex for money or anything
like
that.
But he's basically saying, if a young lady wants to stay with him...
Yeah.
Then
he basically has to give him a couple of blowjobs a week and they'll be all right.
He would like his penicular structure attended to by her...
Yeah, on a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. That man should be arrested.
Well, why?
Well, it's disgusting behaviour.
Well, it's pretty sleazy. But
gives landlords a bad name, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, Colin Luck, 48, right?
Yeah.
He said this, I think if it's mutually beneficial for both people and no one gets harmed and no one gets hurt, what's the harm in it?
Well, it's immoral.
He gets to stay in his... He's got a council house, this guy.
Council house? Right? Get the council to repossess his house.
You can stay there with him in exchange for intimacy and companionship.
Intimacy and companionship?
I don't think he's looking for somebody to watch Match of the Day with him, is
he? No, that means screwing.
Shagging.
It means shagging. Mm. It means Rogerisation of the worst possible sort because some poor young lady who's unable to look after herself, right, is going to, you know... creep into that pervert's bed. I think it's fucking disgusting.
Here's another one here. 29-year-old male. He looks like something out of, you know, some horrendous pirate movie. He's got a big red beard.
Right.
He's wearing camouflage gear, right?
Yeah. They're very worst. These guys are called the self-survivors, you know.
This guy's called Andrew Bird, right?
Yeah.
He's got a one-bedroom council flat in Rotherham.
One-bedroom council flat in Rotherham. What an attractive and tasty prospect he is.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And he's looking for a girl who needs somewhere to stay rent-free.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He says... in his email to one of the girls who asked if she could be one of the possible candidates, I get to fuck you whenever I want.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's what he says.
He doesn't say that in an advert.
Not in an advert, in an email.
In an email?
In an email to her.
And what does she respond by saying?
Well, she's set him up, basically. I mean, this is a newspaper sting.
Oh, I see.
Which has been done to catch these characters, right?
Yeah.
He says, I like the idea that I could get you pregnant.
That's disgusting.
What is
wrong
with these
people? Arrested.
And then he said weekends would be a break from their arrangement because he'd be too tired after weekly video games all-nighters. So he plays video games all night.
Yeah.
He's too tired to get involved in the sexual
relationship. And then what's rogerisation?
He wants rogerisation during the week.
During the week and during the day.
That's awful, isn't
that's
it?
That's absolutely disgusting.
That
but anyway,
really
look, funny you should bring that up. Because
how many... well, hang on. Yeah. We don't move off it yet.
Why?
Because, I mean, I know that you don't do that sort of thing. All
I
said was,
joking.
I'm not surprised...
I get 5-star reports all the time from people who examine, you know,
You must have had a few troublesome tenants in your time.
Well, you have a few troublesome tenants, but you...
When was the last troublesome tenant you had?
Last troublesome tenant was somebody who wouldn't
pay. Did you have to have anyone evicted?
I haven't had to have anybody evicted, but we had a difficult
season. Did you say the weather, by the way?
Yeah, I know. It's
actually pissing.
Here we are in these studios in Covent Garden.
Yeah,
in
very
London.
Nice they are, too.
The Audio Boom Studios are very nice. And the rain is lashing against the window.
Yeah.
Hope it doesn't last, because I haven't got a coat.
Oh, well.
Because it was very warm when I came
out. Yeah, I know.
And I walked up from the river from Charing Cross Tube Station.
Did you?
Nearly died. It was such
a
hot
warm,
day.
Yeah.
But
so you were telling me about one of your problem tenants.
Yeah, it was on payments, and that was all to do with deposits and not repairing stuff that was damaged and all that
don't
kind of stuff.
Don't you have to put the deposit into some kind of special...
escrow
shared.
Put it into an escrow fund.
No, but is it... It doesn't... You get a... Isn't there a deposit... There's a government sort of... certificate, isn't it?
Yeah,
because I got that.
Yeah, it's all handled by management. I don't directly manage any of my properties. They're
all
handled by managing agents.
I see.
So I don't really want to know.
So you don't want to make your hands dirty?
No, I just want the dosh at the end of the month. It's as simple as that. You
make a lot of money out of it?
Well, that's irrelevant because, of course, it's irrelevant because property is very expensive. Mm. It takes a lot of maintenance.
Right.
You don't get a huge return on a lump sum, but it's better than putting it in the bank these days because you don't get anything at all.
What if they ring up and say, can I have some new curtains?
I'll send somebody around from the management company to have a look and see if they need them.
And if they don't?
Well, they don't ring me anyway. Yeah. Nobody rings me. Nobody knows who I am.
Well, yeah, but how about but you're the absentee landlord then?
Well, I'm not absentee. I'm very much a hands-on landlord. I keep an eye.
They don't know who you are, though.
Yeah, but I'm not having people ringing me up and saying we want new curtains.
No, I know, but what if the agent rings you up and says they want new curtains?
Well, I tell them to investigate. Go and investigate and see what it's all about.
Well, maybe they just don't like the ones they've got.
They ring up sometimes and say the lino's come up on the floor in the bathroom, you know. And I send somebody around to sort it out.
Right.
You know, people make false claims against me. I throw them out.
Really?
It's not a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Charming.
But anyway, look, funny you should say that. And because I came across a report in one of my journals about a bloke who is a bleeding gigolo, right?
A what?
A gigolo.
A gigolo?
You know what a gigolo is?
Just a gigolo?
Yeah, just a gigolo.
Remember that song? Just a gigolo.
What do women
David
want
Lee
in
Roth.
Bed? This man says he knows, okay?
He's like the guy from that Richard Gere film.
Hang on, wasn't, you know, in Midnight Cowboy?
Yeah.
Didn't John Voight go to the big city, New York, to become a gigolo? Because he said he was so good-looking.
I think he did.
New York women would want to
but
have
did he not end
sexual
up,
relations
did he
with
not
him?
End up not quite working it out like that?
Oh, it didn't work out for him at all. No. He never got paid for...
I think he ended up shagging one woman, didn't
he? Yeah, but never got paid
but
for
then
it.
He ended up shagging men as well, I think, didn't he?
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
I think so.
Yeah, that's a bit of a downturn, isn't it?
Well, it didn't work out for
him. If you're heterosexual, you know what I mean, yeah. But anyway, this guy's called Madison James. He's 37, right? I'll show you a picture
Madison
of him.
Madison James is not his real name.
It is?
No.
Well, that's what name he trades under, right?
Do you remember there was that... Do you remember that adults-only website?
No.
Called Ashley Madison or something
No,
like
I don't
that?
Know any adults-only website. I
well,
don't indulge
it was
in
a news
sort of
story. It's not a question of whether you indulge in
that
sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
think it was Ashley Madison. Don't you remember they got hacked? And so the names of all
oh,
the people
right. yeah, I do,
who
yes.
were members of it
yes.
supposedly became public.
Yes, I do, yeah.
And people started getting blackmailed.
Yes, that's right.
And rumbled.
That's right.
And people started getting in touch with them saying, oh, see your name's come up on Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
And I think there was a couple of MPs.
Yes.
A couple of other sort of famous
people.
Yes, I
think you're right. I think you're right, yeah.
But that's why I'm suspicious of that not being his real name.
Anyway, this guy, he charges £1,000 for a night with a woman and £13,500 if they want to take him on holiday for 2 weeks, okay?
Really?
Wealthy, successful women hire Madison James to transform their sex lives.
Yeah.
And he tells his story. You
I
know.
Find that very hard to believe.
Well. Yeah, I totally agree.
Is he not some kind of just fantasist bullshitter?
Well, he probably is. The story he tells is that the client, that's the woman who wants she wants him to Rogerize her.
Yeah.
Had booked a serviced apartment
yeah.
in the Rotunda building, wherever that is.
It's in Birmingham.
It's in Birmingham.
Yeah,
isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And after she had paid the bill for their meal, they moved on to the bar to carry on their discussion about what she thought she might enjoy in bed.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually, they progressed to the apartment where she handed him an envelope of £50 notes as James deals in cash only. I bet he does.
Well, he's the HMRC going to be interested in him after this, aren't
that's
he?
Right. Then his service really began. Mm. Now, this then gets a bit graphic.
Does it?
And I'm not sure on a family podcast we should...
Well, what sort of journal has this come out of?
Well, it's come out of a respectable sort of Sunday publication.
Well, it shouldn't be too graphic,
but
then, should it?
It says, I laid her down on the bed
yeah.
and began to undress her slowly and explore her body.
Why are you reading this out?
Well, you know, I people need to know that these
people
sort of people
start
are about.
You're obsessed with this shit.
No. These sort of people are about, okay?
All right.
I pause at every touch and sensation.
Okay, Ashley.
Right?
What's his name? Madison.
Making sure she was really able to relax and enjoy it.
Right. He sounds like a right twat, this bloke.
He does sound like a bit of a twat, I agree. We went on to have a very passionate night.
Oh, very good. Very
all the
you,
time,
mate.
I was asking her, how does it feel for you?
What a fucking moron.
Oh, dear. I don't think I've ever said that, you know, in case the answer was not very good. You know
yeah,
what I
mean?
Yeah,
well, exactly. Well, literally, they're fucking comatose, the ones you're with.
Yeah, that's
they've
right.
Got a fucking
answer. Yeah. I would then ask, what about this? What about that? Do you want me to do this?
Listen,
you
this
know?
Is a fucking story that gets retreaded out every about once a year, right?
Yeah,
somebody
yeah.
does a big piece on a male escort.
Yes.
And it's almost inevitably bollocks, right?
Yeah.
It's just rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't know any woman who yeah. is well-to-do or otherwise, mm. who mm. could afford it,
yeah.
who would ever dream of hiring a bloke
no.
to shag.
No, I totally agree.
I really
agree.
Don't believe that it happens.
I agree. Afterwards, the client, who was a wealthy lawyer, mm. told James that it was the first time a man had taken the time to listen to her and please her in bed.
Load of rubbish.
The booking concluded the following day after they had spent the morning connecting. This included him. Now, this is where it gets a bit dodgy.
Really?
This included him giving her as a bonus.
As a bonus?
As a bonus, right. some oral sex as she was waking up.
Ah, what do you mean? Without her consent, you mean?
Well, I don't know. But I mean,
you mean
that's
without her consent? I think that's an offence.
That's a funny way to be waking up, isn't it?
Yeah. Why don't you just make a cup of tea?
Yeah, hugging, talking and breakfast. now, old, what's this guy's name? Madison James.
Madison James, Madison not James. His real name.
Says Bollocks. That half of the 50 or so women who are his regular clients,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
50. Right.
Yeah, sure.
Choice of 50. Have a similar story mm. of complete satisfaction.
Really?
Most are married, mm. right?
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, there could be a lot of angry husbands out there somewhere, you know.
Well,
or
a lot
maybe
husbands.
A lot of relieved husbands.
I mean, listen, there's plenty of husbands with yeah. wives who get laid elsewhere.
Yes, that's
but
right.
I don't know of any that actually pay for it.
No, I totally agree. Most are married but rarely have sex or have stopped having sex altogether.
Yeah.
When they first contact me, says Madison, they usually say, my husband and I are sexually active just once a month.
Mm.
We are quite traditional, and I want a bit more excitement.
Really?
And he goes on to say, you know, I don't particularly enjoy some things they ask me to do. He says some women have lost confidence or want revenge because their partner has had an affair.
It's a very dangerous world to go into as well.
Well, I think so, because you know. How do you know if some bloke's not going to turn up with a shotgun
well, exactly.
and blow your knees off?
Exactly.
You know, that's
it
what I'd
be,
do
you know,
if I found somebody was cheating on
well,
me.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, because I would. I'm not having
it's
this.
It's not your property.
Well, it's not my property.
She's allowed to do what she wants.
Yeah. Well, is she? And what about the marriage vows are very sacred?
Oh,
Brian Ferry said that.
Oh, what
well,
you
the
think?
The marriage vows are
what
very sacred. It was the.
I mean, it's not Love is the Drug, is it?
No, it was. No, certainly not Love is the
oh,
Drug.
Both
it was Canned Heat one. It was the Canned Heat one, wasn't
canned
it?
Canned Heat.
Let's get together. Come on, come on. Let's get
let's
together.
Get together.
Because
well,
together,
let's get together
we can stand every boy, man, woman, man, or something.
It's a Roxy
know.
Music song.
Yeah, it was a cover version.
Uh-huh.
Roxy did two covers. One was Jealous Guy.
Well, that was him on his own, though.
That was him on his own, was it? And the other one was Canned Heat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
yeah,
didn't know it was
yeah.
a Canned Heat song.
Yeah. But
anyway, the point is that you have yeah. broken the marriage vows on many an occasion. So for you to stand there.
I've never been married.
No, but you've yeah. shagged plenty of married women.
Well, they broke the marriage vows, not me.
You see, you're one of those
and
people.
And you shouldn't be
no.
saying it like that. I
Why?
Have romances with some women who I later found out were married. But
you later
they,
found out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, how much later?
About 6 months later, but I kind of suspected. You
what
know
a
what
load
mean?
Of rubbish. You knew exactly what
well, I did,
they
actually.
Were,
yeah, I did.
Because
yeah.
you knew that by shagging
yeah,
married women,
yeah, yeah.
you'd never have to commit to them. That's why you did it.
Well,
psychologically, that's what you think.
Well, I'm not sure about
that.
That
is exactly what you think.
I'm
you
not
go
sure
for people who are unattainable.
Sorry?
That way you don't have to make the choice. You know, in terms of your emotions.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about it.
Anyway, old Madison, he gets quite scientific about it. You know, he says, I set out to create what I call mating and intelligence, you know.
He didn't sound too bright to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds right, plonker.
Yeah. He also believes in tantric sex
no,
workshops, which he holds
well,
these
like
tantric...
Sting.
Yeah, these tantric
Do you know
sex
that
workshops.
Turned out to be rubbish, right?
About the 7-hour sex
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
I remember watching Joe Brand once.
Right.
Some people always say, looks like me, which is a bit unfair.
Yes,
particularly
right, yeah.
to her.
Yes.
But she was very funny because she was on some show and she went,
yes.
Yeah. Can you imagine having to have sex with Sting for 7 hours?
Exactly.
I can't imagine anything worse.
No, exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it turns out that wasn't even true.
Right.
Because she, his wife, I think, is it Trudy? Trudy Styler.
Trudy Styler,
it?
Yeah.
She, as a joke,
yeah.
because she was fed up with some interview she was being.
That's right, yeah.
Made it up.
That's right.
And
yeah.
said, oh, well, the thing about Sting is that he's so brilliant at sex.
That's
you know,
right.
Have
yeah.
sex for 7 hours.
7 hours, yeah.
And they all took it terribly seriously.
I mean, 7 minutes is nearer the mark for most people, you know. You
7 minutes.
That,
yeah, well, I think it's probably 7 seconds for a lot of people.
Yeah, 7 seconds for a lot of people, I would agree.
But certainly not 7 hours. I mean, you can't do anything for 7 hours, do you?
No, exactly. I mean, you'd get worn out as well, wouldn't you?
Well, I guess.
But listen to this. So his biggest boast is that.
Who the hell's written this?
Well, you know, some Sunday. Magazine journal, you know. But he says, yeah, he says his biggest link-up was with a 42-year-old married woman, one of many of my long-term clients. We have just returned from a two-week trip to Koh Samui in Thailand.
Koh Samui.
Koh Samui, yeah. Where they stayed in a beachside villa that she had rented. James didn't spend a penny on the holiday, and she paid his £13,500 fee in full.
Right.
His largest fee, however, has been £45,000 for a six-week trip around Asia. Me and my partner spent each day at a workshop with six other couples before retiring each evening to do what she called the homework, okay? Now, why would you...
Well, so he went away for 6 weeks.
6 weeks, with the same woman.
With six couples.
No, no, with the same woman.
Oh, yeah.
The same woman, but there were six other couples. Now, any woman looking for a bit of excitement in sex, why did she want the same bloke on holiday, trailing him around Asia... For the same night.
For 6 weeks.
For 6 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Makes sense at all.
But all of these stories are rubbish, as it turns out.
Yeah.
There'll be some angle to it.
Yeah.
He'll be doing something else that he wants publicised. I don't imagine what it would be.
Yes.
But I've never believed those stories. I just think it's fucking rubbish.
He also says a lot of single women come after me as well. They meet up with a man, things get physical and disappointing. They realise I don't have to put up with this. They pay for other services that improve their lives, like a cleaner or a personal assistant. So they pay for to hire me to explore an area of their life that is important to them. With me, they are able to specify and find out what they want in bed with someone who was tuned in to wanting to provide that. You see, that is rubbish.
It is rubbish.
Single women paying a bloke to give them a rogerisation regular?
No.
I don't believe that at all.
I think that's
no one's ever offered me money for sex, you know?
I'm not surprised.
Has any woman ever offered you money for sex?
No.
No, exactly.
Some women have asked me for money for sex.
Nah, rubbish. Yeah, I've never had that.
You've never been propositioned by a hooker? You must have been.
I'm in Russia.
Yeah, so there you are.
The only time it happened once was we went to the... And I have told this story before. We were in Middlesbrough doing this trial I told you about, the doctor who poisoned
I thought you ended up with some woman there that lived with her dad in Middlesbrough.
That was one occasion. Yeah. That was one night, but this is another night. Because the trial was 3 weeks, so we just came over the weekends and then went back to Middlesbrough. It wasn't terribly glamorous, you know.
No, sure.
But... No, we went to Live in the Night Up once. We went to Middlesbrough's top hotspot, which was called the Bongo Club International.
You have told this story.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever told the story about a hooker being involved there.
Well, it wasn't a hooker, you see. Bongo Club International. And you literally walk across broken glass, you know, as you enter the auditorium and move on to the dance floor. It was literally the worst.
There's a couple of fights going on in the corner.
All sorts of things. Yeah, worst. I mean, night spot I've ever been to in my life. But luckily I was with a two or three other Fleet Street hacks. We were safe in numbers, you know what I mean? But anyway, we worked out that we'd either come on a grab-a-granny night or the actual clientele...
That's not really the sort of thing you should say in this day and age. Grab-a-granny
night. That's what it was called in those days.
Yeah, but you can't call it that now.
That was women aged between sort of 35 and 45 went out for a bit of fun for the night.
That's usually old.
Usually old, about 45 to 55 or something like that. And they used to wear tight dresses and stockings and all this kind of stuff, you know, high heels and all that
Husband
kind of stuff.
Husband at home.
Husband at home or on the night shift or something, you know what I mean? Something like that. And what happened was, you know, we had a few drinks and then these women found out we stayed in the local hotel, the Dragon Aura, and wanted to come back with us. They insisted. And
they thought you were high rollers.
I thought we were high rollers. Yeah. We were flashing a lot of dosh, you know, and spending drinks, buying them like what they called champagne, which was, of course, it was
baby sham.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, something like that, yeah. And... when they came back, so I was in a room with one woman who was 20 years older than me. I was in my sort of mid-20s then, or early 20s, you know. But she was a very attractive woman. And just as we were about to get down to the business, there was a terrible crashing noise from the room next door. and in that room was, I can't remember his surname now, but his...
Probably just as well.
Yeah, exactly. But his name was Dougie.
Right.
And he was a married man.
Uh-huh.
And...
Who did he work for?
He worked for the Sun, I think. Yeah. And he'd come to Middlesbrough to do the trial.
Right.
Anyway, unlike the woman I was with, who was a bit more of a lady, the woman next door had asked for money first. Yeah, yeah.
So they were all hookers.
Yeah, and Dougie had to admit, Well, no, they weren't all hookers. Oh. They were housewives right. who liked a bit on the side right. and they could make a few bob as well.
Well, they say, but they were hookers. If they're charging somebody to shag them, they're hookers.
No. So anyway, Dougie said no.
It's not like pin money, is it?
Well, I don't know. I think it was pin money for them. Oh. They only wanted a tenner. So, yeah. So Dougie said no.
It was quite a lot of money in those days.
Yeah, I suppose it was. Dougie said no, he hadn't got any money.
Right.
I don't know whether he did or not, but he didn't want to give him money. So they started smashing his room up. Yeah, and the banging noises and knocking the dressing table over and smashing a mirror. I thought, what the fuck is going on here, right. you know? So I said, excuse me. So I go and sort of bang, what's going on? Dougie, his face was bloodied. They'd hit him with something, you know what I mean? And they were threatening to wreck the hotel.
Jesus Christ.
So do you know what the idiot did?
No.
He gave them a blank check. He gave them a blank check.
Jesus.
And it led to...
How many women were there?
Two in his room.
Right.
There were two in his room.
Right.
And there was one in mine. But we were just socialising in my room. There's nothing hanky-pankyish about it, you know. And it led to the breakdown of his marriage because inevitably what happened was...
The check went through.
No, no. As soon as they pushed off, the next morning he rang up the bank and cancelled the check.
Right.
But these women were not to be put off.
Yeah.
They went to the bank, demanded, you know, and they filled it all in themselves.
Right.
He just signed it.
Right.
He had just signed it. You know, it was his signature. And they said, that's his signature. This is it. We want paying.
Yeah.
And somehow they found his address in Newcastle.
Right.
And they went there, knocked on the door and asked the wife for the money.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
What a nightmare.
I know. Complete nightmare.
What a fucking moron.
Yeah, it was.
That is unbelievable.
Well, everybody was very pissed because we'd been all night in the Bongo Club International, you know, on the Kingside at Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it.
No. I mean, it's only happened to me a couple of times where I've been in situations, mostly in America, actually.
Yeah.
Although the most recent one was when my sort of second oldest son, who's now 14, was a baby, and we were in Brussels.
Right.
And he and his mother had gone up to the room, and I was still smoking in those days.
Yes.
And so I was in the lobby of this quite nice Hilton Hotel in Brussels, one of the expensive ones, you know.
Mm.
And I'm having a fag, and these very attractive three black women walked up to me, dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
Looked like they were Nigerian or something.
Mm.
And one of them came up to me and said, would you like, could we have a cigarette, please?
Mm.
And I said, well, I don't usually give out cigarettes. I said, but they're quite cheap here, so you can.
Mm.
And then she went, can I have two more for my friends?
Mm.
And so, they sat down. I'd lit them before, and they sort of sat in a circle around me.
Yeah.
And we literally took one
Where
drag.
Where was your wife?
She'd gone upstairs with the baby.
Right, I see,
Because we were,
right,
you know,
okay,
the baby was like literally six months old.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll just stay down and have one more fag.
Yeah.
Anyway, sat down next to me on the settee, and I took one drag of the cigarette.
Yeah.
And she turned to me and said, do you want sex?
Mm.
And I went, no.
Which town are we in now?
Brussels.
Brussels, right, okay, yeah.
I said, no thanks.
Mm.
I've decided my other half's just upstairs with my baby. Mm. Instead of baby. Mm. That's the right thing.
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't want sex?
Mm.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, thank you.
Yeah.
You have sex with all of us. I'm like, no, it's fine, really.
Yeah.
And they had to fuck off. I had to tell them to fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a bit like that on the continent, isn't it?
It can be.
In the recent TV series Baptiste, you see an awful lot of the girls.
Do you know, I'm
going to
ask you about that next time we do a Porky Vision because I'm wondering if it's any good.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
But you
well,
can tell
I can
me.
Tell you all about that.
But we've already reached the end. Of this.
Just to finally conclude this Bongo Club International, the woman I was with
Bongo
the next
Club.
Morning, she asked me for a taxi fare to get home.
What do you mean, the woman you were with the next morning?
Because she stayed overnight, the woman from the Bongo Club International.
What you mean? So the woman that was with you, while they were getting beaten, the other two were beating up your mate.
Yes,
she stayed the night.
She stayed,
So
you
shagged her then.
Well, I don't want to get into that because
Did
that's ungentlemanly.
Ask you for
know?
Any money?
She asked me for a taxi fare home because she didn't have any money. So I said, I gave her a fiver for a taxi.
Was she married?
Well, I assume so. Yeah.
Well, where did she tell her husband she was?
I've no idea. I didn't want to know, so it didn't bother me. I don't know.
Shocking behaviour, that.
They usually say they stay with their friends, don't they? And all this.
Well,
kind
you're
of stuff,
the expert. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think so.
That's awful. Horrendous.
Yeah.
We're the two mics.
Yeah. But all these lefties who say, well, I think the working classes will enjoy socialism, but fuck off, I'm not going to enjoy it.
But do you know
People
what's happened?
People like Margaret Hodge,
who
now tries to be a moderate and all that since all the anti-Semitic stuff came up.
Well, she looks like a moderate now.
Yeah. Polly Toynbee.
Yeah.
You know,
well, she's still got the big house in Tuscany.
Exactly.
No, but here's the thing, right? They have now gone, the Labour Party have now turned into what we used to call when I was a student, the trots.
The trots,
you know,
right.
who used to basically, because you used to go to student union conferences, and it'd always be hijacked by the trots.
Yeah, of course it would, or the Socialist trots. Workers' Party.
Yeah. Well, they were all part of the same thing.
They were, yeah.
But all they would basically do was to run into an event and just start beating everybody up.
That's right,
I mean, that was their modus operandi.
That's right,
they weren't fucking interested in politics.
No.
They were just interested in hitting anyone who didn't believe what they believed.
Yeah. I laid her down on the bed and began to undress her slowly and explore her body.
Why are you reading yourself?
Well, you know, I people need to know that these
people
sort of people
start
are about.
You're obsessed with this shit.
No. These sort of people are about, okay?
All right.
I pause at every touch and sensation.
Okay, Ashley.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Madison.
Making sure she was really able to relax and enjoy it.
Right. He sounds like a right twat, this bloke.
He does sound like a bit of a twat, I agree. We went on to have a very passionate night.
Oh, very good. Very
all the
you,
time, babe. I was asking her, how does it feel for you?
What a fucking moron.
Oh, dear. I don't think I've ever said that, you know, in case the answer was not very good, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, literally, they're fucking comatose, the ones you're with.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Answer.
Yeah. This included him giving her, as a bonus,
right,
some oral sex as she was waking up.
Ah, what do you mean, without her consent?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, that's
without her consent. I think that's an offence.
That's a funny way to be waking up, isn't it?
Yeah. Why don't you just make a cup of tea?